Above all,
in you
he's through all, and most of all, the scriptures say he is
in you all.
In us also. For that we say thank you. Amen. We thank God for the honor of partaking in the Lord's Supper. As we stated earlier, we don't take that lightly. Amen. It's often, the scripture says, if we do it, we do it in remembrance of God. So we thank God for that. And we thank God that he kept everyone while we were in our absence and at the council in Georgia. We thank God for that. And I thank God for the testimonies. Amen. We all get to some point in our lives where we need God to intervene. When you're in the hospital, somebody said your four-year-old child only has a 20% chance of making it out alive, and they throw their hands up. Where's Sister Kim? She knows about it. She was a little older, but she knows about it. They throw their hands up and they say, well, we've done all that we can do. That's when it's real good. Amen. Because when they've done all they can do, there's an old saying, man's extremities are God's
opportunities.
So when man has done all that he can do, we should rejoice, because now it's time for God to step in. Amen. Can you imagine 4 years old and they said she has a 20% chance of living 2 weeks, but God did not give that diagnosis. Amen. God, how in the world can people live in a day and age like we live in and don't have God on their side? Hallelujah, we're thankful. Amen. We're going to ask you to stand for a word of prayer. You know, I just feel led as I watched the news on last evening, and I saw in Colorado how there's over 10,000 people that are homeless, and almost 400 homes have been consumed by fire. Amen. And I watched all of the disasters that's taking place from this unpredicted storm. We have some brothers and sisters,
right,
some family members, and loved ones that are in need of prayer. And sometimes we get caught up in our own little world that we fail to recognize the big problems that people have in other places. So at this time, we're going to lift up all these needs. Amen. We want God to intervene. We want God to make a way. They have, I think it's over 50 wildfires across the Midwest that are burning, consuming and destroying. We need God to intervene. There are a lot of cities, amen, that power has been cut off because of storms, and a lot of people in hardships and 100 and something degree temperature with no air conditioning. We need God too. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, thy word declares that we are to be our brother's keepers. Lord, what better way to lift our brothers up than to lift them up in prayer. Lord, you know every condition that's existing. Lord, you know the hardships. Lord, you know the distresses. You know the emotional breaking points that many of them are going through. But Lord, we lift them up now in prayer. Oh God, we ask you to make a way. Lord, we ask you to touch. Lord, we ask you to move. Lord, we ask you to make a way out of no way. Now Lord, we thank you that you give us this honor, an opportunity to pray. We thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to lift our eyes to your holy hills, from which cometh all of our help. Now Lord, we ask, may thy will be done, but Lord, intervene. Lord, bless, Lord, help. Lord, make a way. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 You may be seated for a minute. Amen. Before we get into the Word of God. Now, when we were down in Georgia, the Bishop Neelan Guthrie, who's the diocesan bishop over the Georgia Council, said that God has heavily placed it on his heart how we need to revive the gifts of the Spirit in the church. And he said, because God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, he's the same today, and God is the same forevermore. So he said the miracles, the healings, that took place in the early apostolic church should still be evident in the church today. So he said it really bothers him greatly that we don't see these manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. So what he did is he said, I want everybody, and let's go to Acts chapter 19. We're going to just read this real fast. Acts chapter 19. Amen. Just to explain this and to show that it's not, he didn't sell it. Amen. This wasn't something that he did just as a show, but he wanted us as a church to come up to that spiritual level. Hold on a minute. Amen. He said he wants the church, and he said, now I'm not telling you this from a secondhand experience. He said he went to South Africa, and while he was in South Africa, they told him, he said, well, Bishop, we want you to speak at this service that we're going to have. So he figured, South Africa, amen, you have a few people there. So he said, okay, no problem. So he said as he was approaching the church for the service, he noticed that there were like three blocks of tents. Like, wow, what kind of service is this going to be? He said when he got into the church, there were over 20,000 people in the church, hungry for God. He said it caused a stir within him. He said he saw miracles performed there in South Africa because the people were hungry. He said, but why aren't those miracles evident in America? Amen. 20,000 people, he said, I forget how many thousand of them got saved after the message because they were hungry for God. No wonder Jesus said, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here in Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And this is what he said. He challenged all the pastors, all of the spiritual leaders, all the ministers, anyone that had any impact. This was the challenge. Verse 11 said, and God wrought special miracles. Say the word special miracles. How many need something from God? Listen, y'all got to open up. The one in the scripture said, let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. Amen. You need something from God, don't be all mumbly and hushy. Let God know. Say special miracles. Lord wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. What there is that from what? Either from the miracle aprons or handkerchiefs. He said, God has not changed. He said, now I can't go everywhere with you pastors. So what he did is he had us all come up and he anointed our aprons, our handkerchiefs, whatever we had. He said, I'm going to anoint this. He said, now you take this back to your home. Anyone that has any special need, he said, you pray for them and you lay this on them. Amen. I believe God. How many believe God? How many believe you need God to do something special in your life? Amen. At the end of the service, if you want, now the Bible says, he that cometh to God must first what? Believe. It does us no good to approach God if we don't believe. He that comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that. You just can't come and say, well, God, you don't just do it. You got to come hungry. You got to come feeling after God. You got to come up and say, Lord, do it for me. And do it for me right there. Hallelujah. Amen. So at the end of service, we don't have no miracle working power, but God is a miracle working God. Amen. We're just, listen, he didn't go through all these ostentatious desire, pushing people down. He just said, in the name of Jesus. When we come up, all we want you to do, you put it on your heart. We ain't going to be doing all that pushing and yelling and screaming. It don't change a thing. It's according to your faith. Just like you all had on service last Sunday. The woman that had the issue of blood. Amen. Nobody knew she was healed but her and Jesus. Amen. It didn't need to be ostentatious display. No one knew she was healed but her and Jesus. Amen. It got to that point that the Lord says, who touched me? It's something about a special touch. It's something about that touch of faith. It's something when God moves on you. And you know I don't need anybody to tell me because I can feel it down on my insides. Jesus says, somebody has touched me. And everybody was looking around and said, Lord, what are you talking about? There's hundreds of people around touching you. Jesus said, no, but there's been a special touch. Somebody need a special touch. Amen. He said, well, how do you know? He said, because I feel that virtue has gone out of my body. Hallelujah. Lord, we need some virtue experiences this afternoon. Lord, we need you to move this afternoon. Lord, we need you to break down, tear up, and root out. Lord, we need a touch. We need a touch from Jesus. He said, he told the woman, he said, go your way, because thy faith has made thee whole. Now, when you read the story, I said, you say, well, preach your own message. I am in a minute. I'm going to get to it, okay? I say, it's hot. How are you taking all this time? Because we need God to do something in our lives. Amen. Jesus never spoke a word over this woman. Now, God knew who it was. He didn't say anything, but it was an act of her what? Faith. Amen. And notice it said that when it comes to getting to God, we let too many things stop us. Amen. We let too much stop us. Amen. It's to this, it's to him. It's to, we let too much stop us from getting to God. Hallelujah. So the Bible says there was a throng. There was a crowd around Jesus. Amen. Can you imagine being back here and he's up there and I've got to get through the crowd? But when you need God to do something for you, hallelujah, you can't let anybody get in your way. You can't let mother, you can't let father, you can't let husband, you can't let wife, you can't let children, you can't let co-workers, you can't let anybody get to you, stop you from getting to Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that over 34 years ago, even though everybody else was around the altar, I didn't let that stop me from getting to Jesus. Our problem that we have, the reason we don't get the healings, we don't get the deliverances, we don't get the miracles, we let too much stop us from getting to Jesus. Amen. You gotta purpose in your soul and in your heart, whatever it takes. I got to get to Jesus. We used to sing a song, wherever I go, I'm gonna let the world know that Jesus Christ has never failed me yet. How many know he's never failed?
Hallelujah.
God never fails. Amen. Stop allowing all of that stuff that's in the way to get you from getting to Jesus. Somebody might be the job. Some people, it might be the house, it might be finances. We let too many things stop us from getting to Jesus. It's time to press our way. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. So at the end of service, we're going to pray. All we're going to do is just anoint you and touch you with the handkerchief and say, in Jesus' name. If we can stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse. Actually, let's do 1 Corinthians chapter 15 first. All right, we do 1 Corinthians chapter 15 because I know it's hot and we don't want none of y'all to faint on me. All right. So we do the short verse first, then I'll let y'all sit down. And then the Lord and I will endure the heat together. Amen. Right. So we're going to read verses 57 and 58 together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 and 58. Do we have it? Say amen.
Amen.
And if you don't have it, it's on the screen. Let us read. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Paul writes to the Corinthian church, but thanks be to God. You need something, you gotta go to God. Jesus himself said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, I will give you. Amen. Anytime our minds have no peace, anytime we don't have rest in our souls, it's because we are neglecting to be obedient to that word, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. Now you make an introspection. You search your own heart. You search your own mind. Do you have rest? Do you have peace? When God promises us that if we would just come. You know, in today's society, we get a lot of things, but we have to do a lot more than just show up. Amen. It takes a lot more effort. God said, all I want you to do, I don't want you to do anything but to present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, just come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. All he wants us to do is come. Whatever the situation, whatever the trial, whatever the problem is, just bring it to him. He said, but thanks be to God that giveth us the, hallelujah. In God, there's no defeat. Thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through Jesus. It didn't say outside of Jesus. The reason we don't have victory is we're not following the order that God has given us. Victory is what? Through Jesus. Amen. And sometimes when you get in Jesus, sometimes when we get saved, we have to be steadfast. We got a purpose. I'm not moving. Though the winds of life may blow, though the storms may come against me on every side, I'm going to be steadfast. And because I'm steadfast and I'm firmly planted. Amen. Like I preached not too long ago, I ain't going. Hallelujah. Let the devil fight. Let the winds blow. Brothers and sisters, I ain't going nowhere. Hallelujah. I don't care what happens because if I go somewhere, I get out of Jesus. Amen. I got to stay in this way. I got to stay in his will. I got to keep on fighting. So it says, be steadfast, unmovable, always what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord, there's a whole lot of stuff I'm trying to figure out. Lord, there's a lot of uncertainty. But the one thing that I have for certain, for sure, is that if I got Jesus, I've got it all. Amen. If I got Jesus, I got it all. The latter portion of verse 58 says, whatever you're doing this afternoon, be faithful. Amen. Listen, God allows us to go through troubles to see if we're going to be faithful. God allows the devil to tempt us to see if we're going to be faithful. Yes, he can intervene, but he told the children of Israel, he said, I suffered you to hunger. I allowed you to go through hardships because I wanted you, because he already did. I wanted you to see what was in your heart. As we check our hearts out this afternoon, the hardships, do they bring us closer to God or do they push us away from God? The uncertainty, the unexpected things that happen, do they take us out of Christ? Do they help us to stay firmly planted and rooted in Christ? Whether you're saved or unsaved, you're going to have trouble. Amen. As long as you're in this world, you're going to have trouble. The danger is because you don't have no help. But as long as you stay in Christ, you have some help. Amen. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. I know y'all said, will you hurry up and get to the main meal? Will you take a breath? I see Lewis is smiling. Lewis, yeah, you agree, right? Lewis, like, hurry up. Come on. You know what? I'm going to tell you, young people and everybody, the most important, I didn't understand this as a child, but my mother used to always tell us. The most important relationship that any of us will have is your relationship with Jesus. You know, she used to sing all the songs for the friend we have in Jesus. I take everything to Jesus. You know, he said, okay, that's good for y'all old folks. We got to go outside and play and have fun. We got to do some stuff till we get your age. Amen. But I learned in my teenage years, it was great to know who Jesus was. Because even as a teenager, before I even got into college, I had more questions than answers. Amen. And I used to talk to my friends, you know, like all of y'all do. You know, when everybody got problems, you're going to talk to your closest friend. Are you going to talk to the person you think knows? But they used to give me some answers, and I just didn't feel comfortable with the answers. So in my private time, I wasn't saying amen, but I still knew who God was. In my private time, I used to tell them, y'all ain't helping me. You're not telling me what I need to know. You're telling me what I already know. I need something better than that. I go and pray to my Father Jesus. Amen. And this is how God dealt with me. And then as I would be asleep, I would get a lot of answers in my dreams. So God was showing me then that he's real. All right. I said that to say some of y'all have been having some dreams. God is trying to get your attention. Just to let you know that he is real. Amen. And you keep going to other people trying to get answers and you can't get the answer. Because all of our victory comes through Jesus. Whatever help we need comes through Jesus. Now I had some great aunts, uncles, and grandmothers, but there were some things they could not fix. There were some answers I need that they could not give me. But in my sweet hour of prayer, amen. You know, when we grew up down south, you know, I don't know, they don't do it as much now. They used to make us pray before we even went to bed at night. Y'all do that sometimes? They used to make us pray, and my uncle was a Baptist preacher, and man, they prayed so long, we wondered when they were going to stop. But it taught us something. At the end of your day, go get a report card. Lord, how did I handle things today? Did I handle it your way? Lord, and then, not just today, but there's some things coming up tomorrow and in the future. I don't know what to do. So I'm going to acknowledge you in all of my ways. Right. So that you can what? Direct my path. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 reads, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection. Meaning, you gotta have your mind in the right place.
Right.
Amen. Everything down here, the Lord says, is going to pass away. So your affection, your mind should be on the things in heaven. Set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. Amen. What consumes you? What occupies you the most? Amen. What drives you? Are they the things above? Are they the things on the earth? Amen. We need to change our priorities. Verse 3 reads, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in. You got to go through Jesus. The only way you're going to have true victory is you got to go through Jesus, and then you got to be in Christ, and you got to stay in Christ. A lot of us have been in Christ. A lot of us have known Jesus. But we've allowed some things to take us away. Amen. I don't have to address it because every last one of us know what has hindered our walk with God. We know what has stopped us from trusting God. We know what stopped us from being in Jesus and staying in Jesus. This afternoon, you search yourself. Where are you at? How can you get victory without Jesus when our victory comes through Jesus? Whatever you desire to have, you can plan, you can do, build cathedrals grand and tall, you can conquer all life's failures and fears. But in the end, saints of God, is only what you do for Christ will ask. Amen. Be number one on the job, number one in the community, number one everywhere. But if it's outside of Christ, it's not going to last.
Right.
Only what we do for Christ will last. Hallelujah. Next verse, when Christ who is our life shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. This means kill some stuff. Amen. Go to the next verse. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of? Lord, I just want to be pleading to you. When Israel came out of Egypt and the Lord had delivered them, everybody's been saved. Raise your hand. Come on, give me a wave off if you've been saved. That means God delivered you. Amen. He delivered you from darkness into his marvelous light. So you've been delivered. But after your deliverance, you still have to do some things to stay in Christ. So when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, amen, they were stubborn, they were obstinate. Many times they wanted things their way or no way. God kept trying to help them. But when it was almost at the end of Moses' journey, when Moses was about to pass the baton on to somebody else, he said, oh, this my people, this is what Moses told the children of Israel, you know what the Lord doth require of thee. Hallelujah. He's delivered you. He's helped you. He's forgiven you. He's made ways. Even when you angered God, his anger endured but a moment. For in his favor is life. He said, weeping may endure for a night. But when you're in Christ, I said, when you're in Christ, joy cometh in the morning. So he told them, he said, you know what God does require of you. And today we want to repeat just a little of what he said. He said, number one is fear God. Reverence God. Keep God number one. Amen. He said, and then walk in all of his ways. Number one is fear God. Number two is walk in all of his ways. You've been delivered, but if you want to keep the deliverance, you got to stay in Christ. Walk in all of his ways. He said, and then you have to love the Lord thy God with all. Not some, but first of all, with all of your heart. Tonight, this afternoon, as we check ourselves out, Can you say, I love the Lord with all of my heart? Can you say, I love the Lord with all of my mind? Can you say, I love the Lord with all of my might? Can you say that I love the Lord with all of my strength? Moses told them, he said, I'm about to leave. But now God requires some things of you. Amen. We know what God does require of us. We know that God wants us to honor him. When the scribes tempted Jesus, they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? Number one, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other God before him. And you shall love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. In other words, there shouldn't be anything that should come between us and Jesus. Nothing should come between us and Jesus. So as we go back here, he said, which next verse, please? Go to the next one. We can read the rest of that. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that now we are where? In Christ. Amen. There's some physical and some spiritual things that takes place when we are in Christ. Amen. Said, now that you put off the old man with his deeds. Brothers and sisters, if we're in Christ, we need to put off some old things. Amen? And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And this is our main subject that we're going to deal with. Say, you took a long time to get here. Well, I won't stay long. How's that? Amen. I won't stay here long. But where there is neither Greek, God doesn't care about your nationality. He doesn't care about your race. He doesn't care where you live. God is not concerned with your stature. He said, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. God doesn't care if you are in slavery as a system, not to the devil, but if you're in slavery as a system or free. God doesn't care if you're circumcision or uncircumcision. God doesn't care if you're barbarian or Scythian. God doesn't care whether you're bond or free. But what is important this afternoon, and this is our message, is that Christ is all. We did all of that to get to the point for you to realize when you're new, the old man is dead and now Christ is all. Amen. We used to sing a song years ago. I got to learn to sing so I can sing some of the old songs. Amen. When we went to visit down in Georgia, we got together, we sang some old songs. My wife said, y'all were doing a whole lot of moaning and groaning, and we were feeling it. Amen. We were singing some of the old songs. Amen. But we used to sing a song, I don't possess houses or lands. I don't possess fine clothes or jewelry. Sorrows and cares in this whole world, my lot seems to be. But I have a Christ who paid the price way back on Calvary. Hallelujah. Somebody say this, hallelujah. I better turn one of the fans on. Way back on Calvary. Why? Because Christ is what? All. And all this world to me. Amen. Then later in the sentence said, Christ is all. And without him, nothing could be. Today we need to be in Christ. Amen. Whatever is happening, stay in Christ. Amen. You can lose a lot of things, but when you lose God, you lost everything. I say you can lose houses, they can be replaced. You can lose possessions, they can be replaced. But if you lose God, if you get out of Christ, you've lost everything. That's why I can say Christ is all and all this world to me. Amen. We used to sing a song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fears are gone. Because he lives, I don't know what tomorrow holds. But because he lives, I know who holds tomorrow. So I'm just trying to let you know this afternoon, if you've been baptized in his name, if you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, don't let anything take you out of Christ. It's time to stay in Christ, because Christ is all. work on our physical, but only God can work on our spiritual. Only God can take those crooked things in our lives and make them straight. So I don't know about you, but I will say that Christ is all. Hallelujah. Amen. Sometimes in the midnight hour, when I don't know where to turn and when I don't know who to turn to, hallelujah, I just get down on my knees. And like the songwriter said, I pray and I pray. You ever get that sometimes? You ever pray? Amen. Well, how long do you pray? I pray and I pray until I found the Lord. In those midnight hours, you know, it's something about the midnight. Amen. When it's midnight, it's just you and the Savior. Nobody else is around. Say, I'm on and I'm on. I'm on all night long. Well, how long did you mourn? I'm on until I found the Lord. This is a lot of our lives. Because of the uncertainty, some of us have been crying, and we've been crying all night long. Well, how long did you cry? I cried until I found the Lord. What are you trying to say? Stay in Christ. Amen. Because Christ is all. Amen. Only one that makes, there's only one that makes this promise. He said, I'm with you always, even until the end. Then God goes a little further than that. He's with you after the end, throughout eternity. No one else can be what God can be to us as we stand. Only Christ should be our all in all. If the devil or the voice has been talking to your ear, shut him out. Amen. If someone is trying to take you away from Christ, shut it up. It's time to be in Christ. It's time to be planted on the solid rock. Only Christ, you can go ahead and start the music, only Christ has made us a promise that it will be for us forever. As the ministers come forward, many of us, as the scripture said, may be in the valley of decision. Which way do we go? What do I do? Stay in Christ. Let Him speak to you. Let Him motivate you. Let God invigorate you. Let God be real. Don't fear. We don't have to fear what man can do, because man is limited. Jesus said, all power. Listen to this. The reason we have to stay in Christ, He said, all power in heaven, in earth, and under the earth is given unto me. All of our power is in God. Don't allow any individual, don't allow anything to get you out of Christ. And if you're not in Christ, if you really need some help, it's time. Somebody said, well, how do I get in Christ? I keep hearing the message. Peter told them, he said, save yourself from this unborn generation. They were pricked in their heart. They said, you know what? I have listened to the message. I realized that something in my heart just ain't right. I realized I need a change. What do I do, Peter? Peter said, repent and be baptized. One of you, if you haven't been baptized, He's speaking to you. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. He said, and you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you haven't been baptized, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not in Christ. Jesus said, I am the door, I am the way. The only way you can get to the Father is you got to come through. Stay. faith in Christ. Once again.